Ja.
Should we do it now or do it later? All right, we'll believe that we'll try to do it later. Especially if you could stay for mincha. I don't know what your schedule is like. So we want to talk a little about Parshas Baloscha today, you know, because once we start a new week, we want to get a jump start on the new parsha. And of course, Baloscha opens up with Hadlokas HaNeros, you know, the daily mitzvah that took place in the Beis HaMikdash. So it's always good to get, you know, back into the mood for the Beis HaMikdash. And I become fond of a sefer called Shvilei Pinchas by Rabbi Pinchas Friedman. So I always like to look into it and see what he has to say. Yesterday I gave 3 shiurim for Parshas Noso, so I'm kind of I'm hard pressed to start Baloscha. My head is still in Noso, but we'll give it a shot. Okay. So if we open up to the you have the big blue chumashim.
Yes.
So you'll take a look at the beginning of Parshas Baloscha, which is Bamidbar Perek Ches Pasuk Aleph. Here it's on page 357. And the Torah says the following: Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe lemor, daber al Aaron, v'yamarte lo, baloscha saneros el mul pnei hamenorah ya'iru shiva saneros, vayaskein Aaron el mul pnei hamenorah, helo nerosel kasher tziva Hashem es Moshe. So to summarize, I mean, for the punchline, the Torah testifies to the fact that God commanded Moshe to tell Aaron to fulfill this mitzvah of Baloscha Saneros, and then the Torah goes ahead and records and testifies to the fact that Aaron in fact fulfilled his obligation. Kasher tziva Hashem es Moshe. And Rashi's sort of bothered by this. If you take a look, Rashi wants to know why the Torah had to go out of its way, Vayaskein Aaron in Pasuk Gimel, Lahagit Shvacho Shal Aaron Shaloshina, that Aaron was great, that he didn't deviate from the command of Hashem, which is a bit strange. You know, did anybody have a havami that Aaron would not fulfill his command, that the Torah had to go out of his way and say? And Rashi says it in such, you know, dramatic terms. Lahagit shvacho shal Aaron shaloshina. What was the havam? You know, why would be ol el das anyone that Aaron the Kohen Gadol would make a deviation, would do such a thing?
Well, there was only one case that I can recall, and that was Achrei Mos. That Aaron is not having the Emorim, right? Because on that day he ate
Avelus,
right?
It was an onin. But here in this context, it doesn't seem relevant or necessary to tell me that Aaron did exactly what he was told to do. So here we go back to the Avnei Nezer, you know, the great Sukkachover Rebbe. He's quoted by his son, the Shem Yishmuel, in Parshas Baloscha, and he writes the following: that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu commands Moshe to command Aaron el mul pnei hamenorah ya'iru shiva saneros, what is this el mul pnei hamenorah about? So the Rebbe wants to suggest a mirror image between two concepts: the concept of Shabbos, which is again part of seven, of the number seven, and Shabbos influences, you know, the days of the week, and the menorah, which is also seven. And in the case of the menorah, although there are seven candles, but there's really one and then three and three. Why? Because El Mul Pnei HaMenorah means that the candles on the right side and the candles on the left side all turn towards the one central candle in the middle. El Mul Pnei HaMenorah. If you take a look at Rashi, here on page 357, Dibra Masla El Mul Pnei HaMenorah, which is about line 6, he says, El Mul Ner HaEmtza'i. There's a middle Ner. And the Sukkachover wants to say that this middle Ner, in addition to being part of the mitzvah of Hadlokas HaNeros, and maybe even the primary mitzvah, it also represents or symbolizes the Shabbos. And this will give us an opportunity to have take another glimpse at Shabbos. That Shabbos, like the Ner HaEmtza'i, is in the middle, with 3 days that preceded and 3 days that succeeded. In the language of the Rebbe, he says, Shabbos hi dugmas haMenorah. This you'll see on the bottom right column, that the Shabbos is sort of a symbolic mirror image of the menorah itself. Why? Because we have Tlas Yomi de Kame Shabsa, we have Yom Revi'i, Chamishi, and Shishi, that's Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday that come before Shabbos, and then we have Tlas Yomi de Basar Shabsa, we have Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday that come after Shabbos, and Kulam, these 6 days, the three before and the four and the three after, Ponim El Shabbos, they turn towards the Shabbos. And the same idea you'll find in the menorah itself, that you have Shlosha Kani HaMenorah on this side, the right side, Shlosha Kani HaMenorah on this side, and they all turn towards the Ner HaEmtzei, the middle Ner. And it means the following. To what extent do we find... Now, if you would ask me about the 3 days following Shabbos, like today, Yom Rishon, tomorrow, and then Tuesday, as we call it, Yom Shlishi, how would you define those days as Al-Pi Alocha being the days following Shabbos? What gives them a special status?
Well, you Haftarah up to
Excellent, Jeremy. Brilliant. I'm very impressed. That you're allowed to recite Havdalah for the first 3 days after Shabbos. That indicates that the Shabbos spills over to the first 3 days of the week. It's a little bit more complicated when we speak about days Dalet, Hey, and Vav, the 3 days that come Kami Shabsa. Why are those considered days that are Shayach to the Shabbos that comes afterwards? So in order to appreciate these 3 days, Dalet, Hey, and Vav, Kami Shabsa, we have to stretch our arm away from outside of Halacha into the area of Kabbalah. And that you'll see in the middle column here on your page 1 in the name of the Arizal. And he says that the 3 days of Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday are considered Kame Shabsa because they gain and sustain themselves with a certain Kedusha from the Shabbos that comes afterwards. So it's interesting, according to the Arizal, when you get to Wednesday, you're feeling the sanctity of Shabbos that's going to come 3 days later. In other words, Kedusha goes in both directions. It spills forward into the days Aleph, Beis, and Gimel. So we today are experiencing, to some extent, a spillover, an overflow of the Kedusha of Shabbos that came yesterday. And not only that, says the Ari, but already on Wednesday, I'm feeling in the day itself a sense of Kedusha that nourishes from the Shabbos that's going to come 3 days down the line. And Shloshi Yomim Aleph Beis Gimel Nekroim Basar Shabbos because Yom Kimi Kedushas HaShabbos Sha'avar. And based on this, he writes the following. Nimtza Gimel Yimei HaShavua Rishon in the first 3 days of the week Hein Min HaShabbos Sha'avar, they attach to the Shabbos that came before. Gimel Yimei HaShavua Achronim, the last 3 days of the week Hein Min HaShabbos Haba. V'hine b'yom revi, already on Wednesday, he should begin to prepare himself and receive the tosefes, this extra element of Kedusha from the Shabbos that's coming 3 days down the line. Now, Shabbos is, of course, Neshama Yisera. It gives you an extra Neshama. So already on Wednesday, he should be feeling and preparing himself to receive the Neshama Yisera. And he says the Ari Yechaven on Wednesday, he's already, and that now he's gotten from Wednesday to Thursday, he's up to Yom Hey. Then he's being Mekabel Tosefes Shabbos Haba, Tosefes Ruach. Oh. In Kabbalah, Kedusha, the sanctity of a soul, divides up into three basic elements. That's called Nefesh, Ruach, and Neshama. Nefesh, Ruach, and Neshama. On Wednesday, he gets the Nefesh of the following Shabbos, the upcoming Shabbos. On Thursday, he's endowed with the spirit of the Ruach of the following Shabbos. On Friday, he's already receiving the Neshama of Shabbos. And then, if you integrate all these elements of Nefesh, Ruach, and Neshama, he has these 3 days of Tosefes. And now when he enters into the Shabbos, he's already able to accept and receive the full-blown Kedusha on its maximum level for both Nefesh, Ruach, and Neshama, for all these three elements.
That was,
yeah.
Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama, it's sort of like going from something that's physical to something that's...
right. Right, we're gradually, sort of step by step, Bahadragah, as we say in Hebrew, we're moving up the ladder from the lowest level of Nefesh to the more intense level of Ruach, till we finally get to the level of Neshama, which is totally spiritual. Nefesh is very much connected to the guf, to the physicality. It's the life force, the what the French call the Elan Vital. You know, that was one of the French philosophers. And then we get to Ruach. Ruach is already the spirit of a person. That's already much more spiritual and infinite as opposed to guf, until finally we get to the total Neshama element, where somehow the Neshama is still connected to the guf, but it's real Neshama. And that's spiritual and divine. So let's see how the Arizal develops this. He says the following. We have to take from the Shabbos and drag it over to the Aleph, Beis, and Gimel that come after. On the first day after Shabbos, we now we're going in the opposite order, in the opposite sequence. We're still benefiting from the light of the Neshama, of the extra Neshama. On Monday, we can gain something from the Ruach of the past Shabbos. And then until we get to Tuesday, now we're up to the level of Nefesh, of the Nefesh of the last Shabbos. And according to the Arizal, there's a special piyut. Again, I don't know if we're accustomed to this piyut. I don't know if any of the kehilos that you and I are familiar with recite this piyut. But in this liturgical poem that we recite on Friday night, according to those custom, it says, Yemina usma'ola ubeinayu kala. There's a bride who is now being surrounded on her right side and on her left side. She's right in the middle. Now, when we say a kala, who is in the symbolism that we're talking about here, if you recite this on Friday night, who is the kala?
Shabbos.
The Shabbos itself is the kala. And the kala now has two sides, the right side and the left side. And if the Shabbos is the Kala standing, as it were, right in the middle between the 3 days that came before it and the 3 days of the week that came after it, forming together the 7 days, we can split up that six-day period, the three before to the three after, to these two groups of Yamin and Smol. Where do you think the Yamin is going to be? Before Shabbos or after Shabbos?
Before
Shabbos. The Yamin is before Shabbos. Always, Yamin comes first. So if Dalet, Hey, and Vav come before, they represent the Yamin of Shabbos. The Kala now is Shabbos, and then we get to the Smol of Shabbos. That's the overflow of Aleph, Beis, and Gimel. And now we can get back to the Avnei Nezer that we started with. He, the Sokhet Shavu Rebbe, says that this power of Shabbos is indicated or symbolized by the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash, the Tzuras HaMenorah. There's something called the Ner HaEmtzai. That's the essence, the primary of the menorah. And that of course is representing the Shabbos Kodesh, which is in the middle of the week. Then we have three Kanim. How do you translate the word Kanim? You know, that hold on to the wick. You know, the receptacle that holds on the oil, and then there's a wick. I forgot what... We'll call it a kanim for the time being. Okay. So you have three kanim on the right side coming out of the menorah on its right side, on the right side of the emtsoi, of the ner emtsoi. They parallel the right side of the kala of Shabbos of Dalet, Hey, and Vav. Then you have the three kanim that come from the menorah on its left side. Those parallel and correspond the 3 days of Aleph, Beis, Gimel that stand on the left side of the Kala, on the left side of Shabbos. Now HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu to command Aaron, Baloscha Saneros El Mul Pnei HaMenorah Ya'iru Shiva Saneros. There should be three Neros on the right side of the Emtsoi, three Neros on the left side of the Emtsoi, and these should be Miskofef. They should bow, so to speak, or bend down to the Ner Hamtzai. And therefore, what happens when the three on this side, the right, and three on the left, bow down each towards the Ner Hamtzai, we achieve the following goal. Lechaber ulekasher. Everything should be connected to one. And in the symbolism of Shabbos, it means that the 3 days before Shabbos and the 3 days after Shabbos all turn towards the middle day, which is the Shabbos itself, and it becomes one long kesher, one week that's an indivisible whole made up of three, and Shabbos. So the Shabbos in the middle, pulling together, as it were, the right, which means Dalet Hei and Vav, and the left, which is Aleph, Beis, and Gimel, that Shabbos now is the Kala right in the middle between Yamin Smol that connects everyone. That's why the people who are joining the Kala on the right and the people on the left, why are they there? Where are they turning towards? Obviously towards the Kala in the middle. If there was no Kala, they wouldn't be there. They're only coming with Voda Kala. And therefore in Shabbos, the 3 days are turning, before Shabbos are turning towards Shabbos, the 3 days afterwards turning in the opposite direction towards Shabbos. They all form one entity. And what connects them all? It's the Shabbos. So when we say that Shabbos is the high point of the week, we would have thought it meant before the Ari and before the Sukkot Shavuot Revi, it means that you have 6 days culminating in Shabbos. But we're saying now something different. That the Shabbos is like this middle force, and it's pulling by gravitational pull the 3 days before it and the 3 days afterwards to form a week. So the week, in a sense, starts from Wednesday, which is very interesting, because if you take a look at the Mishnah at the beginning of Ksubas regarding a Nara, a young girl who's getting married for the first time, on what day of the week should she get married? On Wednesday. That's called Pesul and Nisais Liyomar V, because that day is the beginning of pulling towards the Kala, so to speak, towards the Shabbos. So when does the Shabbos begin? You know, you and I would have said Shabbos begins Friday night. And certainly halachically that's true. But on a more, on a level of philosophy, so to speak, of Hashkafa, the Shabbos really begins on Wednesday. Now let's see if we can plug this all in to the concept of a malach. You know that on Leil Shabbos there's a lot of talk about the malachim, and we sing malachi asharis. Let's see if we can plug this all in to the understanding that we have now of Shabbos. Again, going back to our parasha in Baloscha, the Torah commands El Mul Pnei Hamenorah Iru Shivas HaNeiros, that we should light all the Neiros, but they're all El Mul, meaning they're facing, they're bowing towards the Ner Hamtzai, the middle candle. Says the Bnei Yisachar, one of the great Hasidic giants, that Echad Me'aramazim, one of the remnants here, is the name Shabbos. The Shabbos, let's see if we can calculate this very quickly. What's the gematria of Shabbos? We have 4 and 3 is 7, 702. Does that make sense? Okay, gentlemen, you have to be my mathematical critiques here. Okay? Now, let's take Shisha Pa'amim Malach Havaya. Okay, this is a little bit more complicated, but Havaya is 26, am I correct? And 26 added to Malach, Malach is going to be 60 and is 91. So let's see what we get over here. We get 117. Okay? So now, if we multiply 117 by 6, can anybody do that for me? Do you have a little calculator here?
Yeah, well, I'll do it. These with this is by 120. So that's... 720 less.
Schaffen, ma'am. Is 40 is 40 and 30 is 70, 91.
720 less 18. Is that right? 702?
Is that right? 702, excellent. Wow. If that works out, yeah, that's fabulous, because then Shabbos is the same as Malach Havaya. If we multiply the 6 days of Malach Havaya, we end up with Shabbos. And let's try to understand what this means. He says, Yispar Adol Pima Shalom V'tikune Yisol Bereshis Yorei Shabbos. In other words, by being Yorei Shabbos. So Yorei Shabbos, by the way, is a description of a person. A person is called a Yorei Shabbos. What does it mean he's a Yorei Shabbos? He watches or observes the Shabbos very meticulously. And as a result of this Yira, this meticulous awe or fear that he has of Shabbos, he succeeds in being a Shomer Shabbos. But the Chiddush here is Bereishis Yorei Shabbos. What does Bereishis mean? The Reishis here is a reference symbolically to the 6 days of Chol. And by being careful with the Shabbos, he becomes Bereishis. It means that on every week that is made up of 6 days, he somehow, by virtue of his observance of the Shabbos, he imbues those 6 days with what's called Yira. Yira means fear or awe. And the Gemara tells us in the Yerushalmi in Dmai that even in Amaretz, he's not a great scholar, but Ema Shabbos Olav. He has a Yira, he has a reverence for the Shabbos. And if he has the proper Yira for the Shabbos, then his Shmira Shabbos is going to spill over and have an impact on the 6 days of Chol, and they become days of Yira, of Bereishis Yorei Shabbos. Now, one of the Rishonim from the Ashkenazi group is called the Sefer Yireim. I don't know if you heard of him. His name was Rebbe Lezer Mimetz. And he writes in the Sefer HaYireim, based on a pasuk in Tehillim. You remember this pasuk? I think we say it on Motzi Shabbos, if I'm not mistaken. Chona Malach Hashem Havaya Sviv Liyareyov. That there's a Malach Havaya, a special Malach, and he encamps himself and surrounds those who fear Yireyov. And the Yireyim says the following: Kevon Shemin Shmiras Hashabbos Tovoli Adam Hayira Bechol Yishiva Sheishes Yimeim Achol. As a result of his meticulous dedication to observing the Shabbos, a person becomes in his 6 days of Chol become imbued with Yira. Is therefore the Malach Havaya, who is meant to be Saviv Lireyov, is Saviv Bechol Yom. It's unbelievable. Since every day of the week is impacted by his observance of the Shabbos to such an extent that all 6 days of Masa are now imbued with the spirit of Shabbos, whether it be the Nefesh, the Ruach, or the Neshama of Shabbos. This is all a result of his Yira, of his fear of Shabbos, his meticulous dedication and loyalty to observe the Shabbos. Is therefore, if all 6 days are impacted by the Shabbos, that's called Umalach Havaya Chone Svivov. Sviv Lireyov. Lireyov means those who fear the Shabbos. And the Malach Havaya is going to surround all the 6 days, not just the day of Shabbos. Bechol Yom. Why? Because each day is impacted with the year of Shabbos. And if each day of the week is impacted with the year of Shabbos, and that's because, again, the year of Shabbos, when he meticulously observes Shabbos, impacts on all 6 days, uplifting them or upgrading them, if you will, to the status of days of Yira. So all 6 days now become imbued with the spirit of Shabbos, of Yira Shabbos. Then when the Pasuk promises that Malach Havaya Chones Svivov, that the Malach Hashem of Yudkei Vavkei will surround the person, Bechol Yom. And why is that Bechol Yom? Which is what David HaMelech says, Malach Havaya Saviv Liyareya Bechol Yom. It means because all the days of the week are imbued with the spirit of Shabbos, and they all have the status of days of Yira, because the year of Shabbos overflows and upgrades even the days of Chol into days of Yira. So the Malach Hashem now surrounds those 6 days as well, because it says Saviv Liyareya. And here we can turn to page 2. So Rabosai, now we get back to the gematria that we mentioned before, that if you take Malach Hashem Yud Kei Vav Kei, which is equal to 117, and now you multiply it by six, representing the 6 days, which are now imbued with the Yira element of Shabbos, and you produce Shabbos, which is 702, because 6 times 117 is 702. That's our premise here. Now the pasuk of Chone Malach Hashem Havaya Saviv Lireov means that the Malach takes up his place, the Malach of Yudke Vavke takes up his place surrounding as it will all 6 days of the week, because those are all called Yireov, because those are all impacted by the year of Shabbos as it flows in both directions to make all 6 days into days of Yireov. Is now we take Shisha Pa'om and Malach Yudke Vavke Bigmachia Shabbos, and we add to this the Gemara in Shabbos on the Gemara in Chagiga on Daf Tes Zayin, Shisha Dvarim Nemru B'Bnei Adam. Now this is a very famous Gemara, very, shall I say, ambiguous Gemara, or shall we say a confusing Gemara. The Gemara in Chagiga, and the Gemara says that you can describe man by 6 ways. And in 6 ways, if you divide it in 2, 3, and 3, 3 groups, there are 3 which make man similar to a malach. These are the more spiritual, elevated aspects of the human dimensions of the human condition. But in 3 ways, he's like an animal. He's no different than an animal. Man shares together with a malach in das. Number 2, they walk, man walks in a komas kufa, meaning standing up straight. And finally, man has the capability of speaking Lashon Kodesh, like Malachi Asharis, like the angels up in heaven. But in 3 ways, man is compared to what? To an animal. He eats and drinks like an animal, he reproduces like an animal, and he has excrement like an animal. So we learn from this that man himself is half Lamala, he half belongs to the worlds of the highest spheres of the Malachim, but half Lamata, in his Dibur, in his speech, in his Halicha, the way he stands and walks, in his Dibur, and in his Das, and the way he thinks, he's like a Malach. But however, Michetzio Lamata, as a biological being that eats and drinks and reproduces, is, and also the way he goes to the bathroom when he has to eliminate make a bowel movement. In all these cases, he's like a behemoth. He eats and drinks the same food as a behemoth. He's porav arava like a behemoth, and he even goes into the kodesh like a behemoth. However, he says borur, it's clear. Ki imlo yamod ha'adam al mishmar l'snai karoy b'shlosh dvarim shu kemalach. If he's not careful about living up his potential in Das and in Halicha and in Dibur like a Malach, then he'll be lower than the level of the animal. Why? Because if he misuses all those qualities and gifts that Hashem bestowed upon him as a Malach that are supernal in nature, divine in nature, and instead he reaches the lower level of materialism like a behemoth, he's even worse than behemoth, because you know we always say the higher you climb, the faster you fall. And therefore, if he starts thinking b'daitut varm shasa lahar b'hem, so he's misusing his das, and if he takes his dibur and he speaks about things that he's not allowed to speak about, then in all these cases he's abusing and trampling the great gifts that Hashem bestowed upon him, and becomes more garua, more lower than a behemoth. So what is the challenge of man? Man is in a sense he's a half malach, belongs to the spiritual realm, he's a half animal, and he can even go lower than the level of the animal. There's a famous mirror in a large zoo in the Bronx, New York. You know that mirror?
Yeah.
So that mirror says on it, you are looking at the most dangerous animal in the world. Very famous. And man could really go dip below the level of an animal. So what's the challenge of man? The challenge of man is avoda. What is this avoda in this world? To use those 3 qualities that are angelic, that are spiritual and divine, of Das and Halicha Bekomes Kufa and Koch Hadibur, to use those all to lift up the other three dimensions of his being that are animalistic and elevate them to the level of a Malach, which means he's Makadish, he sanctifies himself with that which he's allowed to enjoy, and he dedicates himself in this world, Bilti Lashem Levado, towards service of Hashem. So even his eating and his drinking, or when he's dedicating himself to procreation, he does it all with Kedusha and Tara, and he does it L'Shem Shamayim. And in that sense, what he's accomplished is that he took the physical dimensions of his being and made them and transformed them into sanctified, eternal, purified L'Shem Shamayim. That's the greatest level a man can reach. And if you and I think that that's Kabbalah and that belongs to mystical thought, well, I have news for you and for me. This is actually codified by the Shulchan Aruch himself in Simon, in Aruch Chaim Simon Reish Lamed Aleph. It's one of the most beautiful presentations of the Shulchan Aruch. He says, "B'chol mashiena ha'olam hazeh, any benefits and pleasures of man." This is the bottom right on page 2. He says that whatever benefits and enjoyments and pleasures you derive from this world, don't do it for the sake of the pleasure itself, but rather as part of your service of Hashem. And that's what Mishlei dictates, "B'chol drachecha da'eyu," in all your ways. Even if, you know, you're eating a steak, but if you have the right attitude towards eating the steak and your intention is to serve Hashem, that's called "B'chol drachecha da'eyu." This is, my Rebbe Rav Soloveitchik used to call this the foundation of all of Jewish morality. It's "B'chol drachecha da'eyu." Find God everywhere, discover God, and elevate yourself, even in the most physical aspects of your existence, to the level of spirituality. "Kol ma'asecha yu shem shamayim," whatever you do. You know, we think, oh, I come to shul, I come to Beis Medrash, then I'm dedicated to serving Hashem when I daven, when I learn Torah. But no, I have to be dedicated to Hashem b'chol drachecha da'eyu. Whatever I'm doing, I have to have in mind that I'm doing something l'shem Hashem. "V'afilu midvarim shel rishus kigon achilu shesia," nobody commanded me to eat right now or to drink right now, or halicha, to go on a walk right now, or yeshiva, I should sit and learn now. No, nobody commanded me in all these things what I should do with those actions. And that's called "b'chol drachecha da'eyu shiyu kal ma'asecha l'shem shamayim." You take a look at everything that's a rishus, everything that, you know, is not commanded or mandated by the Torah, but I want to, it's part of my life, and use those, every single action, every single dimension, as an opportunity to serve Hashem. And therefore, whatever your body needs, you should have in mind, I'm enjoying those benefits in order to serve Hashem, because I can't serve Hashem if I don't take care of my bodily needs. And this is a Dovra Gorim Avodasa. This should be the main focal point of his Avodas Hashem, to serve as an Eved Hashem and look for every opportunity, grasp onto every moment and use it to channel whatever physical needs you have towards Avodas Hashem. That's a mental kavana that you have to have. And that's the language of the Shulchan Aruch and Simon Reish Lamed Aleph. Now, what does it mean? I can understand that you eat and you drink L'Shem Shamayim, it strengthens your body, now you're able to serve Hashem. But when you go to the Beis HaKiseh, that's a chiddush. And it's unbelievable. He calls it an avodah gedola. Why is it an avodah gedola? So there's the physical act of separating from the body that which is waste, so that the ochel, you know, that which you need for the bloodstream, is purified. And that represents that one of the most menial acts of man. Is not menial. What's the word I need in English when you talk about something that represents the lowest part, the animalistic part? Is menial? No, not menial.
No,
that's not the right word. My wife is always warning me that I make up words or I misuse words. You know, she knows I've been here in Israel too long.
Insignificant?
No, I'm not looking for insignificant. Yeah. I need a thesaurus here.
Yeah.
I'm looking for a low base kind of action. Not in a negative sense, but when you go to the bathroom, that's what you have to do. But it's those kind of actions are described with an adjective, but I'm not sure what they are. Anyway, now we're looking at that action, which seems on the surface to be so low, sort of, it's anything but divine, and we're giving it a symbolic, conceptual meaning. And it means to separate waste so that you can purify that which is healthy and that which is good. And this is based on the philosophy of Reb Tzadok HaKohen. Have you heard of Reb Tzadok? He lived about 2.5 centuries ago. He's famous for a work called Pre-Tzadik. He wrote many other books. And in that work, he writes, Yodua Sheshoresh Kilkul HaNachash. What was the power, the evil power of the Nachash that brought about the Kilkul?
He brought it in Zima.
Correct. It's Lahachdis Taiva B'Achila, that everything should be done for the sake of Taiva. And what he does is, he creates what we call psoles. Why is this psoles? He says that when you eat for the sake of pleasure, and only for the sake of pleasure, which is a luxury eating, right? And you don't have in mind the Shem Shamayim, so you go into a gourmet restaurant, you eat a very expensive steak. I'm a steak eater, I don't know, some people like vegetables, but and he does it just for the sake of pleasure, that's a kind of a psoles. Psoles means you wasted an opportunity. And what the opportunity is when you eat for L'shem Shamayim is to reach the level of what's called Lechem Abirim. Does anybody know what Lechem Abirim is? That's the Lechem that the Malachi Asharis eat. It's kind of a spiritual bread. Does anybody know in the Chumash where we have something that's similar to an angelic food that we ourselves eat? Man, exactly. Yeah. Man is called Lechem Abirim. And it's very interesting because in Lechem Abirim, there's no room for psoles. Chazal tells us in the Gemara in Yuma that the man used to enter into the bloodstream and it would sustain all the Evarim, all the limbs of a person, without needing to remove any psoles. And this was the level of man before the Nochash HaKadmoni. This is called Adam HaRishon Kodem HaChet. In that case, Adam HaRishon was able to enjoy the Achila and the Shasiyah in Gan Eden, like man, like Lechem Abirim, on an angelic spiritual level, and there was no need to remove psoles. But the Nachash, who somehow injected Taiva into the picture, now he puts psoles into this. Psoles means waste, something that's unnecessary. You know, when you're running around trying to eat something simply for the luxury, for the pleasure of it, and not with any intention of L'shem Shamayim, that's what the Nachash represents. Just enjoy your food. It's gluttonous, pleasureful in eating. And you'll see this, by the way, in the world at large, right? You know, if you go to, let's say, I'm not telling you to go, but if you go to a pub, for example, you'll see how they just drink just for the sake of pleasure. And in many cultures, this is like accepted behavior. But from the morality of B'chol Shochecha Da'ehu, which means to reach the level where there's no psoles, there's no waste, there's no just luxury eating, but everything, even enjoyable eating, is set on the path with the intention of serving Hashem, that's Lechem Abirim. That's a level of eating that spiritualizes everything that we eat, uplifts it, and it no longer has psoles. You've removed all the psoles. And if a person is able to reach that level, he becomes like a Malach Hashem. He's a human being with all the challenges and all the desires, but he can reach that level. And we see something fascinating in the Targum Yonasan, Yonasan ben Uziel, in the Parsha of Tzitzis, which we recite 3 times daily, in the Parsha of Shlach Lecha, where it says, L'man tizkru v'asisem es kol mitzvosai, v'yisem kedoshim l'elokeichem, says the Targum Yonasan. But you know what, we're not going to read it in the Aramaic, because the Aramaic is a little bit too challenging. We'll make it easy for ourselves. We'll read it in the Hebrew. L'man tizkru v'asisem es kol mitzvosai, v'tiyu kedoshim says the Targum Yonasan Kim Alochim Hamashamshin Lifnei Hashem Yisparach, that we should make ourselves into Malachim who serve Hashem as dedicated servants to God. So what's the whole purpose of the Bria? What's the greatest challenge? We have three similarities. The human being is similar to the Malachim in three ways. He's similar to the Behemah in three ways. And his challenge is L'kadishas Atzmo, to sanctify himself in all six ways. And it means to take even those aspects of human behavior which are animalistic and purely materialistic, and upgrade them and channel them to the level of Das, Halicha, and Dibur, to those unique spiritual gifts. And if we could take the three elements within ourselves of Behema, and we could have the right Kavana through our Das and our Halicha, and through our dibur, our speech, to elevate them to the level of kemalach ashores, then all six dimensions of man together, unified to form one indivisible whole of sanctity of serving Hashem. And how do we achieve that goal? The key of keys is going to be the Shabbos, because as we said before, the Shabbos is in the middle with three and three, and it uplifts and sanctifies all these days. So all these days become days of Yira, which we said, Malach Havaya, Saviv, circles man and surrounds him. Says the Arizal, the Shabbos has an impact from its sanctity on all 6 days of the week. And Yemina Usmola Ubeinayu Kala, we saw the language of the liturgy, the period for Leil Shabbos, that the Kala is in between, with three on her right and three on her left. The Kedusha Shabbos is an extension of the Shish Yemei Chol. Okay, now this sentence has to be understood. This is really a breakthrough sentence. If you're with me in the text, again, I apologize that we're reading the text so heavily, but I think that's the way we learn together. On the left column, on page 2, he says the following. On the third line, Mikoach, I would underline this, Mikoach Kedusha Shabbos, Nimsheches Kedusha Gam Al Shisha Yemei Achol. So that's what we saw, and we established that the Shabbos now spills over in both directions, and the Kedusha of Shabbos penetrates into 6 days. But look what he writes here. What does that facilitate? What does man gain? Again, I understand that you gain a lot, but he wants to be mechadish a tremendous benefit that comes from the fact that the Shabbos and its sanctity penetrates into all 6 days of the week. Sheyuchal ha'odom l'skadish b'hem lo rak b'shlosha dvarm shu kemalach, el gam b'shlosha dvarm shu kebehema. In other words, from whence does man glean or gain the power, the energy force, to be able to face the three things in which man is so similar to the animal and uplift them, inject them into an entity of six, Kemalach Hashem Tzvakos, how can he sanctify those three areas of human behavior? And the answer is he gains the energy force from what? From Shabbos, because Shabbos, as we said before, has a Kedusha that penetrates 3 days before and 3 days after into the 6 days that make up one entity. And so too, the human being is an entity that's made up of three elements like a mal, three elements like a behemoth. How do we sanctify the behemoth? Because of the Shabbos that penetrates its Kedusha into the 6 days of Chol. And this is the essence of the mitzvah of Onik Shabbos. Why is it we don't find in any other occasion that the Torah says, you know, enjoy your food, right? Does that become a mitzvah? You know, you and I might say, well, let's enjoy our food. Why not? We should enjoy our food. But the Torah commands us to enjoy our food. When? On Shabbos. And the Gemara establishes the following principle. The Anigas of Shabbos, he who enjoys the Shabbos and benefits from its various pleasures, Nostim lo nachlo v'li mitzor. He will receive, presumably in the world to come, an infinite, boundless piece of territory, a spiritual territory, symbolically. In other words, since the Shabbos is the day of Kedusha, it's the day of a bris, of a covenant between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael, you and I would have thought in the holiness of Shabbos, maybe he should be poreish. He should separate himself like a mala from all in Yoni Olam. He shouldn't be involved in eating and drinking and all the wonderful candies that we give out to the children and everything that we do on Shabbos. Maybe he should dedicate Shabbos solely, exclusively to Olam Abba, to Lasok B'Din Torah. No, the Torah says there's a mitzvah of Oneg, the Karasol of Shabbos Oneg. Why? Because the Kedusha Shabbos is meant to fortify us with that energy force, that power, that we can sanctify all aspects of this world, of this worldliness, and then we can take the Kedusha Shabbos and allow that Kedusha Shabbos to overflow in both directions. Dalet Ein Vav, in addition to Aleph Beis and Gimel, to be Makadosh the Shishas Yimei Achol. If Shabbos has that power of being Makadosh the Shishas Yimei Achol, then Shabbos is going to give man the ability to take in Yonei Olam Hazeh, something very physical, and convert it and transform it to something spiritual. And that's the great impact of Shabbos. So again, if you want to summarize everything we've been saying in one single sentence, is that Shabbos gives man the power to connect and integrate that which is low in man, that which is more materialistic and animalistic, with that which is high in man, which is divine in man, makes him like an angel. He elevates through the Shabbos the lower echelons, the achila and the shasiya and so forth, all the other pleasures, into a mitzvah of a karasal, the Shabbos oneg, in a sense to channel and direct all these pleasures towards the Shabbos, towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu, towards spirituality, and sanctify them. And how? Because Shabbos is the paradigm of sanctifying that which is chol, that which is secular, in the case of what? The 6 days, right? The 3 days before Shabbos of chol, 3 days after Shabbos. And that's the power of the Shabbos. How does Shabbos have that power? Perhaps through the Neshama Yisera, that we have an extra Neshama on Shabbos. And Rashi in Masechta Beitza on Daf Tezvav, Tezayin, he says the following. What does it mean that on Shabbos man is endowed with an extra neshama? Says Rashi, Rochav Lev, a very broad heart, Limnucha ulesimcha v'liot patuach lirvacha. On this day of Shabbos, he can rest, he can enjoy the Shabbos, and he can open his home and invite others to enjoy within the Shabbos. He can eat and drink. V'ein nafsho katzala. Interesting. Who would think that you could have more of an appetite on Shabbos than you do the rest of the week because of the Neshama Yisera? You have to feed the Neshama Yisera. So, for example, you know, on Shabbos, I can't believe it. I'm eating the entree. You know, sometimes it could be fish, it could be liver. And then we get to the salads, that's almost a meal. And then we get to the main course, which is, overflowing. Besides all the dips on the table, you know, the tchina and the chumus. And then, to top it off, we get 3 desserts. You know, we get the ice cream, what's it called, the sherbet, whatever it's called.
Sorbet.
What?
Sorbet.
Sorbet. And then after the sorbet, we get tea and cakes and biscuits and babka cakes and this cakes, Hungarian cakes. It's coming out of the ears. And how are you able to tolerate all that and not get sick from it? The answer is because you have a neshama yisera. But it's the apex of taking something that could be physical in the most basic way, and turning it to something that's spiritual, feeding the Neshama Yisera, that's Shabbos. And therefore, the Sfarim say that, in the name of one of the great Hasidic rabbis, that during the entire week, a person has a tremendous battle, there's a conflict between the Neshama and the Guf. The Guf, on the one hand, is pulling him, is tugging him towards Achil and Shtia, which is physical, but then his neshama, which is purely spiritual, is trying to pull him in the opposite direction. On Shabbos, because of the mitzvah of the karasal of Shabbos oneg, therefore even his ruchnius gets a tainug from the Michael and Mishter, from that which is purely physical. And it's very natural for him to integrate the physical and the spiritual. And if you ask the question, why isn't the Neshama Yisera sick of all this food? And Madua Neshama Yisereina Kotza B'Michael U'B'Mishte B'Shabbos. And the answer is because as a result of his Michael and Mishte, he's miskadesh on Shabbos, and he injects Kedusha into everything he eats. And every dimension of Olam Haba, of Olam Hazeh, and every dimension of Yemos HaChol becomes elevated and sanctified to the level of Kedusha of Shabbos. And now, the Malach, Lopak B'Shlosha Dvarim Shenivra Mem K'Malach, not only with regard to those three dimensions that are divine and angelic, does man get elevated to the level of a Malach, but moreover, Gam B'Shlosha Dvarim Shenivra Habehema Lios K'Malach, Val Yidei Zeh Yuchal Lavodes Hashem Karoi. This is an unbelievable achievement through the Shabbos, that even in the three dimensions in which man is equated to Behema, he becomes like a Malach. And in that vein, he's capable of serving Hashem the proper way without any mixture of something that doesn't belong and something that's animalistic or materialistic within the context of mitzvahs. This, my friends, is the power of Shabbos. That Shabbos gives you an ability to penetrate into the chol, into the secular, and uplift it and give it the status of Kedusha. And if this be the case, perhaps we can shed a light on a medrash in Sefer Dvarim. V'ata sevar shema l'roscha nosati l'chos haShabbos. You know, you might think that, well, Shabbos denies me, I can't do this, I can't do that, I can't cook, I can't eat chila. And lo l'roscha nosati l'chos haShabbos l'tovoscha. The Medrash says that you think that I gave you the Shabbos to chain you down, to incarcerate you, to enjoin you from all the pleasures of life. No, lo nosati l'cha el l'tovoscha. You get all these pleasures from wearing clean clothes, beautiful clothes, and eating and drinking the best foods, the delicacies of Shabbos. And you think, well, maybe ain't no silu chaschar, you're not going to be rewarded for that. No, the karasal Shabbos one. Oz tis anigal Hashem, v'yitein lecha mish'alos libecha. Hashem will give you as a result of your oneg, more oneg. That's the nature and the greatness of Shabbos. So I think Rav Moshe will stop here. Let's make a note of where we got up to. And hopefully we can finish this either on Tuesday or on another occasion, depending on when you might be free and when I might be free. And I'd say that we covered half of this, but I think we got to the punchline that Shabbos is a very spiritual day, but it's the spirituality of the physicality. And we should all be Zochim, Ritz Hashem, to that level of using the Onik Shabbos to elevate and Bechol Drachecha De'ehu, which we started off with the Mechaber, who says that a person should use every opportunity, even at Dvar Shus, Kol Ma'asecha Yushamayim, to elevate it, whether it's, you know, Achila, Shisiyah, Alicha, Yeshiva, Kima, everything. And the Shabbos will fortify us and imbue us with that energy force that we'll be able to fulfill that level of sanctifying everything that looks on the surface to be animalistic and materialistic and physical. Okay then? Alright, we'll stop here.